Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church, Enugu.
And you will get much more. Hallelujah. You don't need to circumvent the issues. You don't need to compromise in anything. God will do much more than you can even imagine. The Bible says that He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or imagine. Hallelujah. How wide can you imagine? How wide is your imagination? God is able to do much more than that. Someone just give God praise today. Hallelujah. Praise God. This has been an amazing weekend. It has been amazing. One thing that God has taught me this weekend, that He works all things together for good. Hallelujah. He works all things together for good. This Friday was great. Saturday, yesterday was great. Today is going to be greater. Oh, how is it? We have to start from great. Friday was great. Saturday was greater. Today is greatest. Hallelujah. It's only great. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible said that His gentleness, David was saying, your gentleness has made me great. Hallelujah. Say, your gentleness has made me great. God wants to make you great. Hallelujah. God wants to make you great. Don't think small, think big. Think big. He will make you great. He's able to make you great. Hallelujah. Praise God. On Friday, we started with, I just introduced the concept of heaven on earth. Interestingly, we just laid the foundation that God wants everyone in this world to experience heaven without dying first. Hallelujah. He wants that to happen. He needs people to achieve that. He needs men to achieve that. That's what we talked about on Friday. On Saturday, Pastor Foyi now came and now expounded on that much more and gave some practical ways that God wants to bring heaven on earth in terms of the things that that we should do to get heaven down to earth. And today I want to go a little bit deeper, and I'm just going to be talking about how to bring down heaven practically. There's things that you need to do in order to bring heaven down into your life and into your environment. That's practically, I'll just show you basically 4 points on how to establish heaven on earth. Because that is God's purpose. Hallelujah. That is God's purpose. You know that in the book of Revelation chapter 11 verse 15, the Bible talks about the seventh angel blowing his trumpet, and the voice, the song was sung, and it says, "Now the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our God and His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever." In other words, there is a time when America, Nigeria, Britain, China will all be the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And for that to happen, God needs you and I. Praise God. He needs you and I to stand in the gap, or to bring down that particular purpose to come to pass. In other words, God has placed you on this. What you have to have in mind, and Pastor Faye said it yesterday, that God has placed you strategically in places. It can be in your job, it can be in your neighborhood, it can be in your family. In order to be the facilitator or the agent to bring about that heavenly experience to the people in your environment. And I want you to see that like this. Wherever you find yourself today, you are divinely positioned. Hallelujah. You are divinely positioned for a purpose that people around you will experience heaven. Hallelujah. Experience heaven in everything that heaven is. And you know that for people around you to experience heaven through you, it means that you are living in heaven. Hallelujah. In other words, you are already living in heaven. But I want to go into this to talk about it, because to have that thing happen, for instance, to get your family, maybe your family is having issues, for it to happen, it is a fight, or it's a warfare. Hallelujah. It is a warfare. And that is what Paul called it, the good fight of faith. He says, Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life that you received when you made the good confession. In other words, when we gave our lives to Christ, God has deposited a rich inheritance for us. And that inheritance is to guarantee that we experience heaven and influence our neighborhood, our office, our places of interactions with heaven. But Paul is saying that for you to lay hold of it, what does it mean to lay hold? It means to make it a tangible reality. You know, you can only lay hold of something that is physical. I am laying hold of this mic. Why? Because it's physical. In other words, Paul is saying that you need to fight the good fight of faith in order to make these things tangible in your life. Hallelujah. So in other words, there is a provision for you to live in heaven right on earth. As a matter of fact, Christianity is the only religion, and if you, this you might correct some people's mindset. God's plan is not for you to live in heaven. God never made man to live in heaven. God made man to make earth heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. To create another environment like heaven. I said in the Friday that heaven, earth was designed to be a replica of heaven. In other words, God does not want to take men to heaven. So come on, not even in heaven. He wants men to create heaven on earth. Hallelujah. He wants you and I to create heaven on earth. But for that to happen, it is warfare. Why? Because when Adam fell, he became a slave to the devil, and the devil had a say on the earth, on the world. So he built up his empire over how many centuries? And now what God has called us to do is to pull down the empire. Hallelujah. I remember one series I watched, The Boss, and the introduction song is, Satan, your kingdom must come down. Satan, your kingdom must come down. I hear the voice of the Lord saying, Satan, your kingdom must come down. And that is the truth. The voice of the Lord is saying right now, Satan, your kingdom must come down. But let me tell you the truth. The Satan's kingdom is defeated. Hallelujah. The Bible says that in Christ Jesus, in his cross, he spoiled what they call principalities and powers. Hallelujah. And he triumphed over them in the cross. In other words, all those powers that were controlling things before are now illegitimate. Hallelujah. Praise God. In other words, before they had authority to execute things, but now they are illegitimate to operate. But do you know that they are still there? In Africa, we have these problems. Presidents don't want to give up positions. For instance, someone like President Mugabe, he's even fainting, but he doesn't want to give up power. Hallelujah. Now, what happened is this. Jesus came into Zimbabwe and made it illegitimate for Mugabe to be president. This is just an analogy. And so, but Mugabe doesn't want to go out. But you know that they have to enforce the law for Mugabe to go out. Hallelujah. So if there is a law that is stated that, okay, for instance in Nigeria, now let's use the Nigerian context. Obasanjo did first term, second term, and when did they do third term? Why did he do third term? Who can tell me why? One, it was against the constitution of Nigeria. For you to do third term, you have to change the constitution of Nigeria. So if Obasanjo decided to stay on in Aso Rock, police will come and arrest him. Hallelujah. But he will not want to give up power easily. He might want to struggle, but because he has lost legitimacy in that office, the force of Nigeria is greater than one man. Hallelujah. So they will pull him down. So the white boy said that fights the good fight of faith. Why he called it a good fight is because it's not a battle to conquer. It's a battle to enforce. Hallelujah. It's not a battle to conquer. It's a battle to enforce. In other words, when you see, look at your life, look at your environment, and you see something that doesn't conform to the kingdom of heaven, just know that I have the authority to make it conform to the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Why is that? Because in Matthew chapter 28, you know the great commandment, let's look at it. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, the last verse is there. And this is something that I've always questioned, but God just opened my eyes to it clearly. And when I was preparing for this Unbelievers Prayer Convention, Matthew 28, that is what they call the Great Commission. I think it was from verse 18. Look at it here. If you're there, say amen. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. But let me stop there. Jesus said, all authority has been given me in heaven and earth. And it's always bug my mind. Why is it, if Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth, why do I need to still struggle to get things done? Do you understand what I'm saying? Why do I need to still make an effort? Why do I need to still fight the good fight of faith? Because he has authority in heaven and earth. He could have dismissed everything immediately. But during this preparing for this program, I just realized something. When Jesus said, go therefore into the world and preach the gospel, what he was doing is this. He took the authority of earth and gave it to his disciples. Hallelujah. In other words, you can say it this way. All authority in heaven is with Jesus. All authority on earth is with the church. Hallelujah. I will say that again. All authority in heaven is with Jesus. All authority on earth is with you. Hallelujah. In other words, in your space of environment, all authority to execute the will of God is in your hands. It's not in the hand of your boss. Hallelujah. If your boss is a Christian, then it's in his hand too. Why? Because Jesus gave you that authority. Hallelujah. He gave you that authority, and we are the ones to execute it. I remember a story where Ken Hagin told, when God gave him, Jesus appeared to him in an open vision, and then he was talking to him and he was getting information. All of a sudden, a demon spirit came and created a smoke screen and was making a lot of noise. And Jesus was still talking. Ken Hagin was not hearing. And Ken Hagin was being frustrated because he was not hearing what Jesus was saying. And all of a sudden, he got angry and said, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, get out. Everything cleared up and the foul spirit ran away. He started hearing Jesus clearly again. And he asked Jesus, why didn't you notice this demon distracting me from hearing you? Jesus told him that, see, I could not have done anything. Ken Hagin said, no. You must not, I didn't hear you very well. Did you say you could not have done it? He said, yes, I could not. He said, it's not possible that you could not have done it. He said, do you know what it means I could not? In other words, even if I wanted to do it, I could not do it. Hallelujah. So Jesus now told him that, see, if you never did it, that thing would have never happened. Because all authority on the earth is in your hands. In other words, if there is lack in your life, if there is sickness, if there is, if things are happening unjustly in your environment, you have all authority to execute it. Do you know why? Because Jesus has elevated you to the position higher than the things that control the earth. Hallelujah. Now the heavens control the earth. Praise God. Let me show you something. It's very important for us to see it this way, because we have been elevated, and our walk. Let me find good. Go to God, Ephesians chapter 3. I'm so excited. Ephesians chapter 3 verse, let me start from verse 10. Well, let me start from verse 9. If you're there, say amen. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 9 says, and to make all see what the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Verse 10, look at verse 10. It says, to the intent that now, someone say now. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. By who? The church is you and I, to principalities and powers in heavenly places. When I read that in first, I said, why principalities and powers? How can we be making the wisdom of God, manifold wisdom of God, known to principalities and powers? And Jesus told me this. He said that the heavens rule the earth, and what I have done, in other words, the principalities and powers were the things that control the way things are done in the earth. And what I have done is to bring you up in me far above where principalities and powers, so that you can stop their manipulations of the earth. In other words, if you stop the manipulation of the principality that controls something, it stops in the earth. Let me show you something. Let's not go there. Ephesians chapter 6 says that our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age. Now, I want to know that. Rulers of the darkness of this age. Hallelujah. In other words, if there is a darkness happening in an age, there is a ruler controlling it. In other words, if there is immorality in the environment, there is a ruler controlling it. In other words, if there is injustice and corruption in an environment, there is a ruler controlling it. And what God has done is to bring us up to the level where we have authority over those principalities and we can stop their manipulations. I know yesterday we stopped some. Hallelujah. Yesterday we stopped some in this nation. You will see it happen. You will see it play out. There is no way that we will do things and we'll get confirmations for it and it won't play out. You will see that corruption will start dropping big time. You will see that places that people will start even so everybody happen itself. But I want you to understand that it is in your hand to make things in your environment conform to what you see in heaven or what you have been told about heaven. Hallelujah. And I want to share with you how we do that. How do we do that? Practical steps. Let us go to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 or from verse 2. Let's go. If you're there, say amen. He says, this is Paul talking. This is Paul. He says, but I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some. Note this, against some who think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. With that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. Let me read it from the NIV translation. There are some points I want to bring out from there so it will be clear. You know, sometimes KJV can be very, very, what do I call it? Complex. Who feels like that? Who feels that KJV is complex? I feel KJV is complex sometimes. But let's look at it from the EU International version. Because this is the first point I want to make is in that statement. Verse 2, he says, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. In other words, our life as Christians are not to be conformed to the standards of this world. In other words, we are supposed to be living in a different realm or living in a different position than the common man or the natural man that is in your office, the natural man that is in your environment. We're supposed to be operating in what I call a higher dimension. We're supposed to be operating in a higher dimension. Now, the things that control men, let me give you a practical example. When we were building this tent, the first All Believers Prayer Convention, we used to have a gate man here, a nice guy, very nice guy, I can testify, a very nice guy. So he's not a Christian. He's a very nice guy. But that period, the guy came up and was just causing wahala. Workers were supposed to walk. He will lock the gate and stop them from walking. I would say, God, what is happening here? I will go and talk to this guy simply. He will do like he heard me. And next day, he would do the same thing. I got so frustrated. And I was praying about it. And God said, why are you bothered? You don't wage war according to the flesh. In other words, command that guy to arrange himself. And I spoke into the air. I spoke into the air and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you foul spirit, stop your manipulation. The next day, guess what happened? When my workers came, this guy that was stopping them from walking carried their equipment inside. This guy fetched water for them. It was amazing to me. I was amazed. But there was... Imagine now if I kept on fighting the guy, telling the guy, what is your problem? What is your problem? Why are you? And I have more right than him in here. I hope you know that. And I could have gone that way. But you know that I would have frustrated myself and not gotten anything done. But just me uttering a statement in the air. I came back the next day. The guy was so supportive, so encouraging. And but you know the guy is like that naturally. Hallelujah. He's like that naturally. But because the work of God was about to go on, heaven was supposed to come down on earth. Hallelujah. Then some funny spirit was trying to resist that. And you can make that mistake in your relationships. You can make that mistake in your neighborhood. You have a neighbor that constantly troubles you. causing you to want to do things that are not in your nature. That is the, that is where you need to enforce heaven. Hallelujah. So, but the first thing you need to know, the first point, because I'm going to tell you this, is the first point. For you to bring heaven down to your earth, you need to have a mindset, first of all, that though I walk in, let's say, FCMB, I do not wage war like the marketers in my unit. that are not Christians. I do not get results by the things in the environment. Hallelujah. I do not get results by physical things. I get results in a higher dimension. That's what Paul was saying. Let's go on. He says that, verse 3, he says, for though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. We do not wage war as the world does. For the weapon we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. I heard Ken Hagin, when Ken Hagin was teaching on this, he said, KJV says, the weapons of our warfare, who has KJV here? The weapons of our warfare. He says that it is our warfare, not God's warfare. Hallelujah. He said the weapons of our warfare, our means I, Paul, and the church in Corinth. The weapons of our warfare are not of this world. In other words, I have a target to hit 100,000, is in banking, I don't know who is a banker here. I have a target to bring in 100 million naira. And now my neighbor has a target to bring in 100 million naira. Both of them, when they gave us that target, all of us, first of all, or typically say, God, they won't kill us for this bank. That's what people will say. They won't kill us for this job. How did they want us to get 100 million naira? But you, because the weapon of your warfare are not the weapons of this world, you will just smile and go into the closet and now discover the way to bring in 100 million naira. Hallelujah. And when you bring in that 100 million naira, as Pastor Faye said, they will ask you, how did you do it? And you tell them, there is a system that is higher than the systems of this world. And we're going to begin to it. So the first thing is this, let me just read it, let me read the part of it. So with the demolish strongholds and all that, and he says them, verse 6, look at verse 6. I'm going to be teaching from this part a lot today. He says, look at verse 6, it says, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. We will be ready to punish any act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Let me just make it very clear to you. He says, we'll be ready to punish any disobedience on the outside. Anything that does not conform to the knowledge of God on our environment when our own obedience is complete. So the first way, or the first thing you need to do to enforce heaven in your environment, in your office, in your family, in the area where you are operating, is to first of all make yourself subject to the will of God. Hallelujah. Subject to the will of God. Or let me put it this way, subject to the scriptures. Now let me read something to you in book of 2 Corinthians chapter, I think it's, is it 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians? So the first point, be completely submitted to the authority of the will of God, or to the authority of the scriptures. You will not be ready to make things change on the outside, to make things conform to heaven. You will not be ready to do that until you make yourself subject, until your obedience is complete. Hallelujah. What does it mean that your obedience is complete? That I have submitted myself, my will, my emotions, my everything to the will of God. And Paul said it this way. Go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4:6. 1 Corinthians 4:6, right? Well, let me start from verse 5. He says, therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness. He says, he will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each one will receive their praise from God. Hallelujah. They now say that, now brothers and sisters, I have applied this kind of thinking. I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit. And what is the benefit? So that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. Hallelujah. Do not go beyond what is written. Do not follow voices. Hallelujah. Follow me. I want you to get that. Do not follow voices. In other words, Paul was saying that I have applied this thing to myself and to Apollos. Why did he use Apollos and himself? Because Apollos and Paul were the people that brought the message and the people that were really reaching out to Corinthians. So those were the key people of Christianity in the Corinthians' mind. And Paul said that I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you will learn that don't go beyond what is written. In other words, make yourself subject to the will of God. Make yourself subject to the law of the scriptures. Make yourself subject to the scriptures. That's the first point. Until you are fully subjected to the scriptures, not voices. Because in Christianity nowadays, voices seem to be very, very popular. Voices, I heard something. If you heard something, make sure that it's written in the scriptures also. Hallelujah. If you hear something, make sure that it's written in the scriptures, because the first point, if you want to experience heaven, the first before I said that, see, don't judge anything before his time. Wait till the Lord comes and he will expose the things that are dark, because there is a lot of darkness. Until the Lord comes and shows the light, brings the light, you will not even know what to do in that situation. But when you go to the scriptures, what happens? The Holy Ghost unfolds the light. The entrance of the word of God is what? Light. It gives understanding to the simple. In other words, the person that doesn't know what is happening, wait. I'm not going to take any action until I see what is written. Hallelujah. So I am subject to the will of the scriptures. And that is what will make you a victorious person. Why? Because the scriptures are the higher level of intelligence. Hallelujah. One scripture that God taught me when I was coming to Enugu is, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Verse 15. Then verse 16 says, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be what? Foolish, but understand the Lord's will. Hallelujah. Notice what he says. See then you walk circumspectly in all you do, because, and redeem the time, for days are evil. The devil does not be unwise, but understand the will of God. In other words, the will of God is wisdom. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, the will of God is the highest level of wisdom. Because the Bible talks about, James talked about the wisdom that's from above, that is pure and all that. He talked about a wisdom from above. Now, this scripture says that when the Bible talks about the word of God, it says that my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. As high as the heaven are from the earth, so are my thoughts from your thoughts and your ways, my ways from your ways. In other words, what God is saying is that, one, my thoughts are more efficient and more sophisticated than a thought the most intelligent man can bring out. Hallelujah. In other words, the will of God is the highest level of intelligence. And trust me, when you start reading the Bible under the influence of the Holy Ghost, you will start seeing wisdom beyond your age. Hallelujah. The Bible says that I know better than my teachers, because I meditate on your precepts. Why? Because the scriptures will show you what you need to do in your business. Hallelujah. It will show you what you need to do. So you don't need to go and start seeking to hear voices. Read your Bible. That should be the first mindset for warfare. Hallelujah. That I do not go out of the scriptures. I do not go beyond what is written. Whenever I see anything that is outside what is written, it is not the will of God. Hallelujah. And even if it looks good, I will subject it to the will of God. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Even if it looks good, I will subject it to the will of God. So the first point, submit yourself to the authority of the scriptures. This is how Jesus did it. Jesus said that, the works I do are not me that do it. It's the Father that is me that does the works. And he said that, why are you accusing me of doing these things? He said, I don't do what I want to do. I do only what I see my Father do. In other words, Jesus did what? He subjected himself to the will of the Father. And you know the interesting thing? Jesus, our Savior, actually applied the same thing that Paul was talking about. He applied that he subjected himself to what was written. Hallelujah. Do you know Jesus heard voices? He heard voices, but he did not act beyond what was written. Have you ever wondered why Jesus, every time something happens, he said, so that it can be fulfilled what was written? He did not say, so that it was fulfilled what I heard God say to me on the mountain. I don't even understand what I'm saying. So that it can be fulfilled what was written. Why? Because Jesus subjected himself to the scriptures. And because he subjected himself to the scriptures, the results was what? Awesome. Hallelujah. He was a phenomenon in his environment. The other teachers of the law were wondering, how is this guy gathering crowd? How is everybody following him? And because everybody was following him, because they didn't have the higher wisdom, what was his wisdom? They not tried the wisdom of killing him, because that is the wisdom of the world. Eliminate your threats. Hallelujah. The wisdom of God is that overcome your threats. Hallelujah. With higher intelligence, the will of God. Praise God. So don't go beyond the scriptures. First point. My mindset is this. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my plans, but your plans be fulfilled. Not my purpose, but your purpose stands. Remember, by working for God, God's purpose stands. And God's purpose, will, and plans are in the scriptures. First point to warfare. Subject yourself to the scriptures. The second point is this. And let me give you this an analogy. And this will be your mindset. This will be your mindset. Now, there are a lot of beautiful people here, and I think almost everybody here looked at themselves in the mirror. Who didn't look at yourself in the mirror before you came here? Who didn't look at a mirror here, please? Who didn't look at a mirror? Everybody looked at a mirror before they came out. Hallelujah. Why did you look at the mirror? To be sure that everything is in order, right? To be sure that everything is in order. In other words, if I was dressing up, I can't see how I am now. Maybe my tie has changed. It's lifted. And my tie was one corner like this. And I walked out. What will happen? If you see me, you will first of all try to adjust my tie. On Friday after the meeting, I had already losing my tie a little bit. So somebody came and picked my tie and tried to adjust it back. And somebody said that the meeting is over. Why? Because he felt that that is not correct. Now, if you see something wrong when you look at the mirror, what do? You correct it. Hallelujah. You correct it. Now, the word of God, the will of God, the scriptures is our mirror. Whenever we see something that is outside the scriptures, the mindset is this: I am going to fight it until it conforms. Last time I gave this illustration, I told you a boil. If you see a boil in your eye, maybe you look at the mirror one morning, you see a big boil in your eye. What happens? All of a sudden, everything in you starts fighting against the boil. Because the boil is not supposed to be there. How will I look when I get to enter the office? People ask me too many questions. You have to get glasses to cover you so you avoid questions. But from that moment that you saw it, you started fighting it. So the scriptures are your mirror. James said that, do not be hearers of the word, but be doers. For he that hears the word and does not do it is like a man that looks at his natural face in the mirror and goes away forgetting that he's a black man and thinks he's a white man. Hallelujah. In other words, when you see the right thing, you enforce it. Hallelujah. And that is the work of warfare. So don't go beyond, don't enforce anything that is not in the scriptures. it's not for your good. Hallelujah. Don't enforce anything that is outside the scriptures. It's not for your good. Second point. Praise is the greatest weapon to establish heaven on earth. Praise is the greatest weapon to establish heaven on earth. Let me show you a scripture. Go to the book of Psalm 149. Maybe we just read the Psalm together. We all do Psalm. No, normally on Sundays we do Psalms. So let's read Psalm 149 together. Normally every Sunday, because this is a unique service, this is not the normal service. But normally every Sunday we read a Psalm. If you attend Connaughton Church, you would have realized it. So if it was a normal Sunday, I was teaching this, Psalm would have read. He says, let's read it together. Praise the Lord. Praise. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their kings. Verse 3, let's go. Let them praise his name with a dance. Let them sing praises to him with a timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and the two-edged swords in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the people, to bind their kings with fetters and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all the saints. Praise the Lord. This honor has all the saints. In other words, to execute on them what is written. Hallelujah. In other words, when you see something that is contrary to what is written, the way you first of all start in executing it is by praise. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth and the double-edged sword in their hand. Hallelujah. What is the double-edged sword? The word of God. The Bible says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged, double-edged sword. In other words, word-based praises are the key to bind things, to bind things that are contrary to the will of God. It says to bind their kings with fetters. There are two dimensions to this. First of all, to bind the king of Persia with fetters. Then now bind the prince of Persia and the king of Persia. I know there were two dimensions there. Don't know Daniel's story. I don't have time to go there. Daniel prayed, and after 21 days, an angel came and told him that I've been sent from the first day that you prayed, but one guy called the prince of Persia held the angel. That couldn't have been the king of Persia at that point in time, and there was a king of Persia, a fiscal man. So what he's saying here, that when you enter with praise and you you have the double-edged sword in your mouth, on your hand, which is the, what is written, and you execute knowledge-based praise or word-based praise, what you are doing is to bind the kings with fetters. First of all, when you bind the king in the heavenlies with fetters, the king on the earth has no choice than to be bound in fetters. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What does that mean? That the king on the earth will then conform to what the will of God is. The king of the earth will start deploying heavenly principles. Hallelujah. Heavenly program. The program of heaven will start prospering. Hallelujah. So praise, why is it like that? Because praise is the atmosphere of heaven. Have you ever read Revelation? It's like they always sing. Praises to God, always. So the atmosphere of heaven is praise. That's the atmosphere. So if you are in a situation that is not heavenly, how do you create the atmosphere of heaven? By praise. Hallelujah. What the Bible says in Psalm 22, it says that God inhabits the praises of his people. Hallelujah. In other words, when you start praising, what happens is that God comes. And when God comes, he's coming to heaven. Hallelujah. If there's anything that doesn't conform to heaven, he's kicking it out. Hallelujah. So in other words, when you start praising God, even in a contrary circumstance, what God you are doing is opening the door for God to come and create heaven. So you praise God. Praise God. Let me show you something in Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. And we'll start going in from there. Because when you praise God, you are opening the door, the gates. The gates for God. You know the Bible said that lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, that the what? King of glory may come in. Hallelujah. What are your gates? Isaiah 60, just write this down. Isaiah 60:11. Isaiah 8 and verse 18. It says that your gates will be open continually, and people will bring the treasures of the nations into you. And in 18 said that your gates, your walls will be called salvation, and your gates what? Praise. Hallelujah. Your gates praise. So when you say your gates are open, it means that your praises are continually opened up and the treasures flowing. Hallelujah. In other words, when you praise God in a circumstance that is contrary to heaven, the treasures to make it heaven starts flowing in. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So you enter with word-based praise. Word-based praise. The reason why I said word-based praise is because their praises are not word-based. Hallelujah. And even to make it even more, to drill it down further. Based on the promise that you receive, you praise God based on that promise. Or based on what is written. And you start seeing what that thing written. I thought you go somewhere. Isaiah 30, she? Isaiah 30. Let's go to Isaiah 30. Let me show you what will happen when you start praising. Verse 29. Verse 29 and 30. Better say amen. He says, You shall have a song as in the night when a holy festival is kept, and gladness of heart as when one goes with a flute to come into the mountain of the Lord. Hallelujah. To come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. Verse 30. The Lord will cause his glorious voice to be heard. Hallelujah. And show the descent of his arm. With indignation and all that. But look at what it says here. You shall have a song. Hallelujah. I tell people to sing. When you sing, you are a bit more effective in praise. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. When you sing, it is more easier. Hallelujah for you. It is more easier for you to sing words than to just keep declaring the words. Am I correct? Who understands what I'm saying? So really, when you sing, so what is saying that when you are coming to the mountain of the Lord, I know it's upon Mount Zion that there is deliverance and the children of God will possess their possession. In other words, the things that belong to you, you go up to the mountain, we're going to get there. You go up to the mountain to get it. But when you are praising, God will cause his glorious voice to be heard. Hallelujah. He will cause his glorious voice to be heard and he will show the descent of his hand. What does it mean to show? To manifest it. In other words, things will start happening that you know that God's hand has come down. Hallelujah. So you start with praise. 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 Never go into any situation, even if you don't have a promise from God. Never go into any situation carrying a heavy heart. Because the next thing he says, and you will have gladness of heart. Gladness of heart. So always praise yourself to gladness of heart. Sometimes when I'm feeling down, no, sometimes you feel down. Hallelujah. Pressures can be down, can be too much on you. But I've realized one thing. Wow. Glory to God. Wow. Please, a great man of God has just stepped into this place. Please, sir, can you just please come to the front? Wow, this is Pastor Banky, if you don't know him. He's one of the blessings of this church, and it's a great privilege to have him here. Wow, thank you very much, sir. Wow, God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. Wow. Amazing God. So you enter into it with praise, because when you praise God, the gate is opened and God comes down to create heaven on earth. Hallelujah. The next thing you do after praising, the first one is that you make up your mind that I will never go beyond what is written. That's the first step to warfare. I will never go beyond what is written. The second step is that I enter into warfare with praise. Hallelujah. Not with complaining, not with worry, not just praising God from a dryness, with gladness of heart also. And I was saying that you can start singing until you get the gladness of heart, because I've realized this in experience and practice. Whenever I'm feeling down, you know, sometimes you feel down that you don't even feel like standing up physically. But when you start singing, even from your bed, do you know why it says, remember that scripture we read, say that, let them sing from God from their beds. Hallelujah. In other words, when you are down, you start singing to praises to God from your bed. Before you know it, you will stand up and jump. Hallelujah. I've seen myself from down and out singing to jumping and jumping and jumping and jumping. And I look back and say, is this just a few minutes ago that I was feeling that all things were gone, all hope was lost? When you start praising, God comes. Hallelujah. The second thing you need to do is to pray in the Spirit. And now praying in the Spirit is simply praying guided by the Spirit. And all your prayers should be in the Spirit. But I want to just emphasize on one. Now let me emphasize that first. All your prayers should be in the Spirit. What does it mean that all your prayers should be in the Spirit? I've thought about praying in the Spirit here. There are three or four dimensions of it. All your prayers should be in the Spirit. Every prayer should be Spirit guided. Even in your understanding or in tongues, it should be Spirit guided. How do you know that it's Spirit guided? That the will of God is what you are praying. You are praying what is written. So if you are praying in English and you are praying the scriptures, you are praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. You are praying in the Spirit. But what I want to talk about today is praying in tongues. Now that's a powerful tool. I've learned it in my life. I've seen men of God talk about it, and practically it's in my life. Let me show you this thing. So you pray always in the Spirit. You pray always in the Spirit. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 14. I want to show you something there quickly. Remember the first point, submit yourself to the authority of the scriptures. Don't follow voices. Submit yourself to the authority of the scriptures. Then the second point, enter into it with praise. Enter into it with praise. The third point, pray in the Spirit. All your prayers should be in the Spirit. All your prayers should be in the Spirit. Praise God. He says, for he who speaks, verse 2, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. If you had to say amen. He says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, somebody say however. In the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. In the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. In the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Let me just go down to verse 13 and 14. Let's read something there before I go to explain. Verse 13 and 14. Because this is how to practically benefit from praying in tongues. It says, verse 13 says, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Someone say, pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. But unfruitful understanding is not the will of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's why he said that when you pray in the Spirit, pray also that you may interpret it. Because when you interpret it, your understanding will be enlightened. Now, what are you praying in the Spirit? Let me show you that. Go to chapter 2. When you speak in tongues, what are you saying? Remember he said that he speaks mysteries. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. Can I say amen? He says, but we speak the wisdom of God in what? In a mystery. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Hallelujah. He ordained this wisdom before the ages for our glory. Remember I said that the work of the church is to make known the manifold wisdom of God to principalities and powers. And I said that if you, when I pray in a tongue, I speak not to men, but to God. No one understands me, but don't get it twisted. I'm not saying gibberish. Hallelujah. I'm not speaking gibberish. I am speaking mysteries to God. I am speaking the mysteries that God hid for my glory, that the princes of this world would not have known, that if they knew it, they wouldn't have been persecuting you. Hallelujah. Because the prince of this world did not know it. Because if they knew it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, when you are speaking those things in mysteries, you don't understand it then you now pray that you may interpret it. Interpret it. And in practice, this I have understood it. Sometimes when I'm praying in the spirit, English words, I utter English words, and it makes sense to me. Sometimes I'm praying in the spirit, scriptures just open up to me in deep ways that I can practice it in very, very practical ways. But also, when I pray in the spirit, after praying in the spirit for a long time, I'm not giving you time to pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. But pray a lot in the spirit. That's the advice. And I'm expecting to get the interpretation. Sometimes I stand up. Let me give you the most interesting one. One day I woke up early in the morning and I was praying in the spirit, praying in the spirit, praying in the spirit, praying in the spirit. And I finished praying. I knew I had gotten a satisfactory inflow of the spirit. And I slept. I woke up. I picked my phone first thing in the morning. I went to I don't know what happened. I don't know how it went. Just interesting. That's weird. Don't do this. But I picked my phone. The first thing I went to was Facebook. Early in the morning, while I was waking up, I went to Facebook and I saw something that someone shared, an article that Bakari wrote. And I read that article. And as I was reading the article, I said, this is what I was praying for. From that day, I knew. Now, I'm not trying to make anything big. I knew that Nigeria would not fight in this election because it was before the election. I knew that Nigeria would not break. I knew it clearly. I also knew that Goodluck would not win. I knew it clearly. But I don't say those kind of things out. I told my wife. I said, it was clear to me because when I read it finished, I just understood exactly what I was praying about. I understood where Nigeria was going to hit a rock. And I was praying that if this thing happens like this, Nigeria will hit a rock. That's what Bakari was saying. But when I finished praying and read that thing, I just understood that Nigeria is not going to hit the rock. Hallelujah. That things will be turned around. And I was very, very glad about that. And I went on with life. I didn't have this discussion with anybody apart from my wife. But when you pray in this, the reason I said that is this. When you pray in the spirit, you will stumble things and you have that expectation that I want to get the interpretation of these things. You will even stumble on things on the TV. That when you see them, you said, this is exactly what we are going to do. Hallelujah. Because it's on the mountain when you are praying that you get the intelligence. The intelligence. Because the scripture has intelligence. Hallelujah. The intelligence to execute that thing, to execute heaven on earth. You get that intelligence in prayer. And it's a result, let me put it, it's a result of prayer. So you don't have to pray until you start hearing it. It's a result of prayer. Because a lot of times, it's when you are opening the Bible, you are reading the Bible, that you now start seeing things. You start seeing things that make sense to you, and it can be very practical. I tell people that I came to Enugu not because I heard a voice telling me to come to Enugu. I saw it in Ezekiel. Hallelujah. To come to Enugu. I didn't hear go my son to Enugu. I saw it in the book of Ezekiel. The water flows from the temple towards the eastern region. The capital of this region is Enugu. Hallelujah. I'm the temple of God. The water flows out of my belly. Flows out of my belly to the eastern region. And water is flowing. Hallelujah. Water is flowing. Praise God. Hallelujah. So pray in the spirit and pray that you may interpret it. Interpretation is not translation. So you can pray in the spirit for 1 hour and get one word from God as interpretation. So pray in the spirit. Very important in warfare. Notice that I've not talked about binding a demon. I've not talked about it. But you know, interestingly, sometimes, let me give you an instance. You know, this one hardly happened too long, like 4 days ago. I was praying in the spirit. I'm praying in the spirit, praying in the spirit, praying in the spirit. And a thought came to me. Tell that demon to let go of all the things that are coming to you. And I stood up. I said, in the name of Jesus, get your hands off my finances. By 7 a.m., an alert dropped. By 12 noon, an alert dropped. As in, 3 payments from 3 different locations in this Nigeria. 3 payments from 3 different locations, but I was not focused on binding the demon. Because I've realized this, God knows when to speak. And when you speak at that time, something happens immediately. Just keep on doing that. Pray in the spirit. So all the thing you're doing is to prime yourself to get the instructions. You get the instructions and you execute the instructions. So the third point, pray in the spirit. Pray in tongues. Speak mysteries. The fourth point, you make demand. Hallelujah. Now, praising and praying in the spirit will give you, as you study the scriptures, will give you the intent of God for a situation. And when you get the intent of God for a situation, you can now confidently ask, hallelujah, ask God to do it. In other words, you don't need to even pray too long again. All you need to do, God, you said this is what I have seen concerning this issue. God, fulfill it. That's what David did. Remember when Nathan came to bring good news this time around, not bad news the first time. He came to bring a good news that David thought about, I want to build a temple for God. And Nathan came to tell David, don't do it. God sent David not to do it. Nathan gave a full narration of all the good things that God wanted to do. Immediately after Nathan left, what did David do? He went and prayed the same thing that Nathan told him. God, fulfill this thing. Who knows where that scripture is? There's God of time. I don't have time to go there. Go and research. Hallelujah. But basically, when the information comes to you clearly, we don't need a prophet to come and tell you now because you have the spirit in you. So you get it clearly. You pray to God, asking in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, do this thing. Do this thing. And he will do it. But that's not where you will stop. You keep on demanding. Now, the demanding is this. You now start speaking to the air. Speaking to the environment. Speaking that same revelation that you have. Not asking God again. You are demanding with your words because it's your words that you make demands. Hallelujah. It's your word that you war. It's with your words that you battle. That's why the sword of the spirit is the word of God. You cannot stamp words and it work. Hallelujah. You have to speak it. So you speak it and you start executing it. You keep on speaking. Now, when my pastor prayed for me to come and start this church, he said something, and I didn't understand it until one day God opened my eyes to it. He said something, and I said, Lord, show him in the scriptures your exact intent for the things that you want to accomplish in Enugu. And as he speaks these things, your grace to manifest in that city of Enugu. I didn't understand it. As you're speaking, grace manifests. Until God showed me Ephesians chapter 2. He said that we are saved by what? Faith. By grace, through faith. We are saved by grace, through faith. What is faith? Faith, the spirit of faith is believing and speaking. In other words, grace manifests when you speak. Hallelujah. You are, salvation there, it means everything you have in Christ Jesus. So he said that you are saved, you get those things by grace. It's not by your efforts. It's not of works that any man should boast. By grace, but it comes through faith. So as you are speaking those things to the air, what is going to be happening? The grace of God will start going forth to bring things. People that you never have thought that you would have related to will start coming to your rescue. Help will start springing forth. What is happening? What is bringing those helps? Grace. Hallelujah. Grace starts coming forth as you are speaking. So you keep on demanding. Keep on demanding. Don't give up. Hallelujah. Keep on demanding until you see heaven. Hallelujah. Until you see heaven, don't stop. I think that's the final point that we're going to talk about. Hallelujah. Because the next step is that you take practical steps to make heaven come to earth. Hallelujah. Not all these things are spiritual things first. Now, they come down to the practical. Because once you engage in the spiritual part, you will know the practical steps you need to take. The corresponding action of faith, because the fight is a fight of faith, and faith must have corresponding action to live. Hallelujah. In other words, the corresponding action of faith must be in place. The things that you need to do must be in place. You need to know what to do. Hallelujah. The Bible said that Jesus knew what to do. Sometimes I used to wish that I knew what to do in every situation like Jesus, but I'm getting there. Someone say, I'm getting there. Jesus saw 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And the Bible said that he knew what to do, and he fed 5,000 people. When you know what to do, you will feed 5,000 people. Hallelujah. And how do you know what to do? By engaging in the spiritual work. Because God will cause his glorious voice. He will give you insights, thoughts, ideas. Hallelujah. That when you execute them, you will see God work. Hallelujah. And let me put this, because you need to enforce this even in the physical too. Why? Because the Bible says in Matthew chapter, let me look at where I wrote it down. Matthew chapter 11 verse 12. Jesus said, from the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has been preached. No, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. Now, the word violence there is, it's force. It has to be force. And the violent is a forceful man. Hallelujah. That's what it means. So, in other words, you must be diligently pursuing the things that God has put in your heart. Diligently. The things that the instruction that God has given you, whether it's working or not working, keep at it. Hallelujah. In other words, I'm steadfastly doing what I've heard. Because as I am doing it, I am enforcing it. If it is a man that you think that you cannot meet, that it comes to your mind to go and meet, go. The giants in the land will submit to the word of God. Hallelujah. The giants in the land will submit. So go. Go meet that person. Take those bold steps. Take those bold steps. Because without those bold steps, your life will not be heaven. Hallelujah. Your environment will not be heaven. Because heaven needs to manifest. You must take bold steps. Start that business. Make that relationship work. Hallelujah. Just do it. The thoughts. Let me say this again, because I just came to mind to say it again. The corresponding action of faith is not what you think of. It is a product of your faith. Hallelujah. So if you think of something, it's not the corresponding action of faith. Let me give you an instance. Two or three. Three instances. The woman with the issue of blood, the Roman centurion, and the Jehoshaphat. I like those three stories. The woman with issue of blood said to herself and took actions. Why? Because I imagine it this way. The woman with issue of blood. Now what I'm trying to point out is this. The corresponding action of faith is a product of your faith, and it's always based on your circumstance, your environment, what you are used to. Hallelujah. Wow. The sound of abundance of rain. It's raining in your life too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Follow me. So, let me start with the woman with issue of blood. Now this woman has been suffering for 12 years. Are you hearing me very, very well? The woman was suffering for 12 years. And the Bible records that she went to all places, spent all she had, and never grew better, but she grew worse. In other words, this woman must have gone to doctors. She must have gone to native doctors. She must have gone to people that believe that she had, that had power to heal her. I don't think it's only the conventional doctors that she would have gone to in those days, Abby. Conventional doctors were not that skilled as they are right now. So you must go to where the thing is happening. So she must have gone to where the things were happening everywhere. And she must have met some witch doctors that are very powerful. And they must have done some things, but they couldn't heal her. So she started hearing about Jesus. She started hearing about the word of God. See, this word of God has been working for people. He has been working on this word of God seems very powerful. And if this word of God is very powerful as it is, all these fake people that have been doing all these stunts, if this word of God is very powerful, I don't need to go and call the word of God. I only need to go and touch the word of God. Hallelujah. And she said it to herself, first of all. She made the confession and took those steps and to touch Jesus. And Jesus could not even stop her from getting her healing. Hallelujah. I did a BOT Rock series on that. You know that Jesus could not have stopped that woman from being healed. Because even when she was healed, Jesus turned back and did not know if it was a man or a woman that touched him. He was still looking around. In other words, if you do what the woman did, you will always get it. There's a book in the library, how to write your ticket with God. If you get it, read it. Ken Hagin explained it there very well. Hallelujah. So that woman did that, and it most likely based on her experience and her understanding. Now let's go to the Roman centurion. The Roman centurion sent for Jesus to come and heal his servant. Jesus was coming. And as he was meditating on the word of God, he realized, if the word of God is this powerful, it doesn't need to come to my house to heal, but Jesus was coming, not that. It doesn't need to come to my house to heal it. I'm a man under authority. If I tell my servant, go there, he will go. If my organ tells me, go there, I have to go. This man is more powerful than me. He's more powerful than my organ, and he's very powerful. So what will happen? You don't need to come. Only speak the word. And my servant to be healed. And Jesus, what did I say that Jesus marveled? He marveled at his faith. In other words, the man had gotten into a higher dimension of the work with God. And Jesus said, nowhere else have I seen this thing happen. In other words, there was a provision for that, but nobody had seen it. But were other people getting healing? Yes. But this guy saw it based on his context. He saw it. Jehoshaphat and the army of Syria and all those guys. I'm talking about corresponding action of faith. Jehoshaphat said there was three armies coming to fight him. He could not fight them back. They prayed. The word of the Lord came. The battle is not yours. It is the Lord. And what did he do? He said, believe the word of the Lord and you'll be saved. Believe the word of the prophet and you'll be established. So he believed. He believed the word of God. And as he was meditating, I believe that he was meditating. Now, if you notice, Jehoshaphat was in the line of David. And anybody in the line of David is a worshipper. Hallelujah. He's a worshipper. So Jehoshaphat, and the Bible even records somewhere in Chronicles that Jehoshaphat and the people of Israel praised God with the Psalms of David and the prophet Asaph. So I think as Jehoshaphat was meditating on the word of God, he said, I've seen God do mighty things when my forefathers praised him. So what should we do? The correspondent action of faith struck him. And he said, okay, do you know what? Let praise go first. So he put praisers. Any army general, I can imagine what the army generals would have been thinking. He said, sir, are you not taking this thing to the extreme? If you put worshippers in the front, do you know, practically look at this. If you put worshippers in the front and God was not with them, you know that when the years come, they will just start bushering. And even the strong men, we see as they are killing their men and their hearts will fail. I hope you know that. And because of that, they will lose the battle. So it was not a logical thing, but Jehoshaphat said that praise is what brings things done. If God has said something, the battle is not mine, it's the Lord. So what do we do? We praise the Lord for the battle that he sees. So we put the praisers in front and they kept on praising and going. And they were walking majestically. The guys with sword must have been saying, this is our king, eh? No problem, let's go. We are all together in this. We are all together in this. And they kept on going. Only to go there and they were surprised. Everybody is dead. The people that were fighting, they came to fight them, fought themselves. And I wonder how that happened. The last person that was surviving, what killed him? What killed him? Really, because in every fight, one person must survive. Or maybe this one stabbed themselves at the same time. And both of them died. And the people of Israel came to collect the heavens. Hallelujah. For 3 days they were collecting the heavens. Hallelujah. So look at this. There's always a corresponding action of your faith. So take those steps. Well, once you have done the work in the spirit, come out. Take those steps. Meet the person you need to meet. Talk to the person you need to talk to. Make the relationship work. Go to the place. Make the move. Move from Lagos to Enugu. Hallelujah. Even though it looks scary, move. Hallelujah. And when you move, you will see results. You will see results. You will see results. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let us go to the book of Obadiah chapter. And we're going to end there. We're going to go into some sessions of prayer right now. Wow. Glory to God. Another man of God has just stepped in. I want you to come front too, sister, if you don't mind, please. Come front. That's Apostle Okemute. Apostle Okemute has entered the house. Please come forward. Glory to God. We are going to go into a time of prayer right now. I heard this. I heard my pastor say this once. And it struck me. Are we going to Obadiah chapter? No, Obadiah can be hard to find sometimes. Even though I'm with... Obadiah had only one chapter. So there's no need to say chapter this. Obadiah. Verse 17. Hallelujah. I heard my pastor say this, that if you have gotten the word of God concerning an issue, and in your heart you feel, in your heart is certain that this thing should have come to pass, but it has not yet come to pass, it means that something is hindering it. I know that the devil can hinder things. No, Paul said the devil hindered me. If Paul said the devil hindered me from doing what I want to do, he's a big man of God. He's a big man of God. So he said that something is hindering it. But we have come upon this mountain. Hallelujah. That's what my wife read earlier on, that this is God's promise, that on this mountain, the Lord God has prepared a feast of fat things. In this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds. In other words, the things that are hindering. Hallelujah. And they will come. And we're going to enter into it. Praise God. Things are going to be released today. Hallelujah. Say, but on Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance and there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob, the Cornerstone Church, and the people in the All Believers Prayer Convention shall possess their possession. Their possession means that it belongs to them. Hallelujah. But when they come up to the mountain, they possess it. So I want you to just rise up on your feet. First of all, knowing that God has planned mighty good things for you in this season. Start giving him thanks. Start giving him praise, for praise is the gateway that you open up into the very throne of God to come and make things right. So start giving him praise, for his thoughts towards you are thoughts of good and not of evil. Give him praise. Give him praise. Thank him that his plans for you are good plans. Thank him for his plans for you are righteous plans. Thank him for his plans for you are wonderful. No, the Bible says that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Start thanking him for the spiritual blessings, all the spiritual blessings that he has given you. Hallelujah. Start thanking him for righteousness that gives you boldness to stand before lions. Hallelujah. Thank you for righteousness. He has given you righteousness. Thank you for the name of Jesus, because you have the right to use the name of Jesus to declare words and they come to pass. Thank you for the name of Jesus. Thank him for making you more than a conqueror. Thank you for making you more than a conqueror. Thank you for making his plans for you very perfect. Thank you for his will is good, it is acceptable, and is perfect. Give him thanks. I want you to lift up your voice and your heart with gladness of heart, praising him, giving him thanks for the things. Now start thanking him for that situation that you've been believing him for. Giving him praise, for he has a good plan for that situation. He has a good plan for that project. He has a good plan for that situation. Give him thanks. Don't worry. Don't complain. Thank him. Thank him, for his thoughts towards you are thoughts of good, not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. In other words, he has prepared a beautiful future for you. He has a future for you. Your tomorrow is definitely better than today. He has prepared it. It is settled. It is settled in heaven. It is already there for you. All you need to do is to take possession of it. And that is an easy thing. Just give him thanks. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Father, we thank you for your great and mighty promises. Your great and mighty promises that makes us partakers of the divine nature. That makes us partakers of the divine nature. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you, God. For you have beautiful plans for us. You have made us more than conquerors. You always lead us in triumphant procession. You always lead us in triumphant procession. Give him thanks. He always leads us in triumph. We are a victorious people. Always winning. Never defeated. Always winning. Never defeated. Because God is for us. Who can be against us? God is for us. Who can be against us? Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Worship him. Worship him. Thank him. Give him thanks. Rejoice before him. How will you do? How will you act when you have received that thing that you have been believing for? How will you act when you have received that thing? Do like that right now. Rejoice before him like it's already in your hand. It is yours. Rejoice like it's already in your hand. Praise him like it's already in your hand. Praise him like it's already in your hand. Praise him because he has prepared it for you. Praise him. Praise him from your heart. Praise him from your heart. Rejoice before him. He is for you. He is not against you. He is for you. He is not against you. Worship him. Worship him. Father, we worship you. We give you thanks for everything that you are doing. For the wonders you are working. The wonders you are working. The wonders you are working. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, for the transformations that you are bringing to every one of us. For the transformations you are bringing. Thank you, God, for your plans towards us. Plans to prosper us. Plans to prosper us. Plans to give us a future and a hope. Oh, we thank you, God. We thank you, God. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, oh Father. Oh, glory to your name. 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 These things you've hidden for our glory. 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 We enter into them, for you come to us today. Hallelujah. With light and revelation. With light and revelation. Glory to your name, God. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Don't stop thanking him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. He is a good God. He is benevolent to you. He is generous towards you. He has good things in store for you. He has blessed you with spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. You are not at a disadvantage. Your business is not at a disadvantage. You are in a better position. A better position. Because you have God for you. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you.
Yes, oh God, as a people, we lift our voices to you, worshiping, thanking you for your great plans for us, for your great plans to bless us, for your great plans to prosper us, to give us a future, to bring us into the future that you have prepared us, oh God. We thank you. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh Lord, we bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. Glory to your name. In the book of Colossians chapter 4 verse 12, Paul talked about a man called Epaphras. He talked about a man called Epaphras. He said that man always wrestles in prayer. Wrestles fervently in prayer, that they may stand firm in all the will of God, matured and fully assured. In other words, Epaphras was praying for the Colossian church, that they may stand firm in all the will of God. I've come to realize that the will of God appears in three dimensions in our life, at least for what I know now. In where you are, what you are doing, and what you have. Where you are, what you are doing, and what you have. In other words, the position where you are in life, the things that you are doing with your hand, the works of your hand, and the possessions that you have. That the will of God is in those three dimensions. So we are going to pray like Epaphras, but this time we are going to be praying for ourselves. Hallelujah. That we may stand firm in all the will of God for our lives. In other words, everything that God has prepared for this season of our lives, we enter into it, and they are manifest in our lives. It is evidence. Go and start praying. First of all, pray that God will fill you with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Go ahead, pray right now. Declare, God, I want to stand firm in all your will for my life. All your will for my life. Matured and fully assured. So I'm asking, fill me with the knowledge of your will. Fill me with the knowledge of your will. Go ahead and pray right now. Yes, that circumstance that doesn't look like heaven. It's not the will of God. It's not the will of God. It's not the will of God. Stand firm in the will of God. Declare, God, wrestle in prayer today. And say, God, I'm standing firm in the will of God.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.